hurricanes, earthquakes, we in the end times. They gave his babies to the Gators, don't forget now. He delivered us from Egypt, about to do it all again. Finding out that we the people, so we putting down our sins. Father, we wanna go home, Abba, please let us in. Oh, and no one to your word, cause you about to send your winds. Abba, keep us from the hour of temptation. Trusting in your word, we just waiting. Come get us from these nations. Abba, keep us from the trickery of Satan. Trusting in your word, not these nations. We in the tribulation.
We get what we deserve. Oh, we get more. Tell me, we get what we deserve. Oh, we get
blue.
Now to tensions in the Middle East. Another conflict has erupted in the region, and this time a trade war between Turkey and Israel. Turkey has announced restrictions on exports to Israel as tensions between the two nations spiral. Last night, Turkey accused Israel of preventing it from airdropping aid into Gaza.
We submitted a request to join this aid operation with cargo planes belonging to our Air Force. We learned today that our request, which had been approved by Jordanian authorities, was rejected by Israel.
Now Turkey will no longer export products to Israel from 54 categories, including jet fuel, iron, steel, and construction materials. Turkey is Israel's fifth largest supplier, and the exports amount to almost $5 billion. Ankara says that the export ban will be lifted only if Israel adheres to international humanitarian law and allows aid into Gaza.
Well, folks, we got Marjorie Taylor Greene here running her damn mouth, and you need to hear this. Stick with me. I'll catch you on the other side of this video. Play the video.
Democrats and dishonest people in the media every single day accuse President Trump of waging an insurrection and accuse many of us of waging an insurrection, and you're doing nothing but lying and selling the lies of the Democrats all for campaigns and elections. Shame on every single person that has done that. Shame on you. You need to tell the truth. You have the freedom of press, one of the greatest rights in this entire world. And anyone that puts the word insurrectionist, calls President Trump an insurrectionist, and calls any of us an insurrectionist is a liar, and you do not deserve the power that you possess. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Yeah, call me a liar? Let me tell you something, Farty Mars, the elevator flatulator. Let me tell you something. You are a damn liar. So much so, you got people killed during COVID lying. Don't even start with me about calling people liars. You are an insurrectionist. You are an insurrectionist. Let me tell you something, what it means to be an insurrectionist. You had every opportunity within the laws of our country as part of the Trump campaign to dispute any problems you had with this election, but you could not do it. You could not do it. You couldn't bring any evidence to court to back up the lies you were saying, because they were lies, pure lies. There was never anything to dispute. But if you did want to dispute the election, you had opportunities. You have systems to avail yourselves of, but you didn't do that. No, you didn't do that. You made fake slates of electors. You just said, we're just going to make this up and claim we won. That's an insurrection, by the way. That is just one part of an insurrection. You ignored the vote of the people and just made shit up and said, we won, and made fake slates of electors. Then you took those fake slates of electors and you sent them to Mike Pence and the legislature. That is part of an insurrection. Then, the day they were supposed to certify this election, Yeah, y'all had a plan in place. We've got your plan. We've got you figured out. Ted Cruz ran his big mouth talking about how they needed to stop the certification. They needed to come up with a committee to drag this out. And we know. All you had to do was drag it out a couple weeks, and then you'd had a little vote, state by state, one vote per state. You Republicans had more votes than we Democrats did. If you went for each individual state, you were going to make Trump president. That was your goal. That was your coup. That was what you were going to do. We know it. Ignore the vote. Delay, and then use the legislature to engage in your coup to make Trump a damn despot in this country. No, ma'am. No. Mike Pence stood up and did the right thing. He did not delay this. And after you violently attacked our Capitol, you shit on our Capitol, you smashed in the windows, you stabbed cops, you beat cops. You know, we know you put that together, that you Republicans put that together. You called in the Oath Keepers. You called in the Proud Boys, the Praetorians. You called in all of those 3% or right-wing crap organizations to be violent. Then you had your rally the day the vote was to be certified. And then, at your little hate rally, told them to go to the Capitol and stop it. Fight for your country. That's an insurrection, you jackass. That's exactly what an insurrection is. Ignore the vote. Ignore democracy. Say you won. Violently interrupt the certification of the vote until you can engage in your coup. That's an insurrection. And that is what you will be for the rest of your life. I am telling you, you are a traitor to this country. And mark my words, eventually somebody of decency will be in power in the state of Georgia, and you will never be allowed to run for office again because you are an insurrectionist. Because you are an insurrectionist. I promise you, lady, I've been around, I've watched politics my whole life, and I will tell you, the pendulum swings, and you will not always be safe in Georgia. You will not always be safe and protected by traitors in Georgia. Eventually, we will get enough power in that state, and we will bar you from running for office because you are an insurrectionist. Your actions have consequences. And I know for somebody like you who's never been held accountable for a damn thing you've ever done or said, I watched you kick a kid on the sidewalk multiple times, you piece of crap. I know for you, boy, hell, being held accountable, that just feels terrible. Like you're being persecuted. But you're not. You're just being held accountable. And mark my words, we're never going to be okay over this. And I will never forgive you, and I will never forget, and I will for the rest of my life make it my mission to eventually get you barred from ever running for office again. I love you, folks. But this is a fight. This is a real fight. It's not over, as you can tell. They're still kicking. We have to stay in it. Hit the subscribe button.
Breaking news. Let's get into some updates on what's going on globally and how it ties directly into Palestine. Starting coming in hot. America, why would your goofy ass do this shit? Why would y'all send all this aid over to Tanzania? I get it. In Tanzania, there's some shit going on. But you know what? I am so proud of my people. I'm so freaking proud of them. Because America tried to drop off tons of aid in Tanzania, and they smelled bullshit immediately. They said, hell no, you better pick this shit up and take it straight to Gaza. What the fuck is you doing? Don't you think that they need this? We're good. We've eaten, and while our supplies may be limited, we're good. There's people that are literally dying by the second in Gaza. Why are you not sending this aid over there? Let's get into it. United States of America, USA, sent aid to Tanzania. Tanzanians say they don't need the aid. They said, come get your shit, Joe. Come get this shit. Hold on, because we're gonna talk about this. We're gonna talk about this shit. They don't need the aid that the people of Gaza needed more. Like I said, I love my people. I love my people. And that they are making arrangements to send the aid to Gaza. So they're not even relying on America to come back and get their shit. They said, fuck it. If you don't want to do it, we'll do it. Okay? Because for whatever reason, y'all seem to think this shit is a game. Like, we not all watching what the fuck going on. And like, we not all watching the type of moves that y'all making. What America was doing was they're taking the aid that we purchased. We globally purchased for the Palestinians so that they can eat, the Gazans and the ones in the West Bank so that they can eat, okay? And America stole that shit and dropped it off in Tanzania and called themselves trying to do a good deed. You ain't never gave a fuck about the Tanzanians prior to this moment. All of a sudden, you care about them in the middle of a motherfucking genocide where UNRWA has stated that it is a dire need for humanitarian aid. You decided that this was the right move to make. When I tell you I love my people, they knew what the fuck type time America was on and said, don't even worry about it. We got it. Don't worry about it. Because, baby, when I tell you all you do is fuck up, we can't trust this shit with you no more. Listen, you dropped it off here, leave it here. We got it from here. We'll take it from here. That's right, Tanzania. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I know. So Palestinians, hold on. The Tanzanians is shipping. You see all this? They sending it to you, okay? They gonna get it to you. Don't even worry about it. We not worried about what America doing. Don't worry about it. It's on its way. Remember we were saying that America started the flippity floppity floppity flip? Well, baby, they still doing it. So John Kirby basically came out during the White House press meeting yesterday and stated that we have not seen any evidence that Hamas has stolen humanitarian aid in Gaza. Now, this does not surprise me, seeing as though there's been so many claims that Hamas has done this and Hamas has done that, and that the UNRWA staff members have been a part of Hamas. They basically publicly berated those UNRWA staff members. And then the way that they treated them, they know they're going on the chopping block for that shit, for just up and believing Israel instead of having any kind of evidence to back it up. They know people are coming after America and they're definitely going to sanction this country. So now they're cleaning up act and they're making sure that they are looking deeply into things and that they're researching and they're trying to be a lot more, how do I put this, methodical in their approach with helping Israel. Because right now, It's dire. Every move that they make, they know that they're under a microscope and they don't want to get in trouble for nearly half of the shit that they have done, including financially backing a genocide and trying to profit off of it, okay? So have you noticed that they haven't done anything in that pier or anywhere near that area? Yeah, it's because they're waiting for us to turn our backs and not pay attention so that once we do, they will just sneak in and steal that shit. Don't turn your back. Keep your eyes on Rafa. Keep your eyes on America. Because we know how they get down. And now they're going against Israel by saying, we don't support that. We have not seen any evidence, which means you're lying. That's basically what they're saying is you're lying. Hamas has no reason to steal from them aid convoys, especially when people will willingly take them food. I don't know why you thought. I'm just gonna leave that to Israel, because that was the dumbest shit you could have. Why would Hamas steal from the same people they're trying to save? It just don't add up. And Hamas would have came out and told us, like, yeah, we went and got some flour. Let's be fucking clear. That aid wasn't just for the Palestinians. It's also for Hamas. We do want them to save the Palestinians. And we do want them to keep fighting for the reestablishment of their Palestinian state. I don't know why y'all thought that we would all be like, oh my God, Hamas is stealing their food. Some of that food was for Hamas. There's also detainees in their captivity. So don't you think that they should need to eat as well? Yeah, we don't care. As the United States said, there's no evidence of that, which means it's a lie. It's a lie. Again, another reason why we said, what the fuck, America? Why would you send all that food to Tanzania when UNRWA is literally begging you to send food? We get it. You did the 13th drop. But how did more food end up in Tanzania than it did in Gaza? That's what I'm interested to know. How did that happen? Exactly. We need explanations. Expeditiously. We need explanations. Expeditiously. Thank you. Go ahead and read it. As you can see, people in Gaza are on the verge of famine. that we vote for the Palestinians end up in Tanzania. And thank God the Tanzanians were smart enough to know, you want some fuck shit right now. You doing some fuck shit, and you're trying to use us to help you do some fuck shit. And we're not going to fall for it. We're going to pack this shit up, and we're going to take it to Gaza ourselves. How about that? How about that? And you're not going to like it. Oh, well, we don't care. We don't care. That's too bad. But they needed more, and we are certain that this food was supposed to go there. That's what I'm talking about. What? The Human Rights Watch has called for sanctions against Israel after failing to comply with the ICJ orders. Baby, they never complied, and they made it perfectly clear that they weren't going to comply from the start. But, yeah, you're getting sanctioned. Yeah, all that shit that you stole, you got to give it back. You got to give it back. And there's still strong numbers in the global protests that have been erupting globally, okay? People are still the pro-Palestinians are still spending the majority of their time outside of work and home protesting in the streets. And I, for one, am proud of this generation. I'm proud of how we have been showing up and showing out for one another and refusing to ignore the pain that other people have gone through because of money. Because as you can see, money does not rule the world. Money does not rule the world. Evil tried to rule the world. Money don't make the world go around. We make the world go around. And the minute we stopped, everything stopped. So I'm proud of everyone for the way that y'all been showing up for Palestine. I need y'all to also show up this way for the DRC as well. Mm-hmm. I want to see all that. I want to see the blue and yellow and red flags. I want to see all that. I need it to be colorful. I want to see Africans dancing in the streets. You know, the tribal dances. I want to see all of that. Where is that? Chicago, I'm calling you out. Where the protests at for the Congolese? I love y'all. I love y'all zone. Do you hear me? I love y'all zone. But I need y'all to lead the way because nobody does it like Chicago does it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I know nobody else is going to get up unless Chicago gets the fuck up and makes it a competition. So what's good? What's good? And this one brought tears to my eyes, seeing as though the Irish have made it perfectly clear. Joe Biden, keep our names out your motherfucking mouths. You're not one of us. They said, you're not one of us. We are going to the next trade delegation and we're going to trade you. We're going to trade you. Okay, we're going to trade you. So many Irish Americans turned against President Biden over the Gaza war. I saw the video of this entire protest and the numbers were astronomical. There was definitely tens of thousands of people out there protesting. I know y'all see the gap right here, but trust me, I saw the video and that the amount of people was, just trust me on this, okay? They showed up and showed out. They showed up and showed out, okay? So give them their love, because the Irish Americans in New York, in Chicago, they showed up and they showed out. And we love y'all. We love y'all for that. Anyways, let me know what y'all think in the comments below.
Let me know, is it time to get out of New York? Take a look. The New York Appellate Division has ruled in favor of Governor Kathy Hochul in a landmark case for government overreach. Rule 213, isolated quarantine and procedures will give the state of New York the ability to come into your home and take you away to quarantine you without any notice and for any virus or infection they deem necessary. You won't have any option to fight it. No court date, nothing. The rule has no age limit and they can keep you for as long as they'd like. The rule also allows them to treat you as they see fit, including using methods that are still in testing. This is one of the biggest abuses of power that this country has ever seen. This is only the beginning. How long until this is nationwide or even global?
Oh, a lot of this is starting to make a lot more sense now. Y'all know me. I gotta get to the bottom of this shit. So it is all culminated with Africa. It is. But here's the thing. They want TikTok gone. Now, y'all know they passed the ban, supposed to be in effect in September, but we know it ain't going to happen, right? Because the lawsuits that'll be filed, that's going to block all of that. Here's the gem. Zimbabwe's money. I mean, I'm sitting here digging and digging. What is the connection? Boom. Zimbabwe. Money. Right now, they're not going to tell you. Supersedes the United States. So the United States is trying to sabotage Zimbabwe and everybody that they mess with. But here's the key. It ain't just the United States. Guess who it is? Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos have lost about a trillion and a half dollars in value in his stock. his. So remember, he's been paying all the people because TikTok is what was breaking him from the beginning, because everybody is starting to use TikTok Shop and they want. See, if you're not using Amazon and you're using TikTok, you're cutting the government out. And you cutting people out like Jeff Bezos and Amazon. So his pocket's been getting real light. But here's the key. Jeff Bezos made a lot of major investments right now. Right? In the past few years. And Amazon was supposed to pay off all of this. But then lo and behold, here comes TikTok. And every one of you TikTok shoppers and every one of you people who is making money off of TikTok, you taking that money out of Jeff Bezos because Jeff Bezos was coming to shut Walmart down and he was going to be the number one guy and he wanted to be the richest guy in the world. Now Jeff Bezos, and I know this is going to sound crazy to you, but in their world, Jeff Bezos is broke. Jeff Bezos has now officially basically went broke. The value in the stock and value in his company is depleted. He's just like me and you. His credit good, but his value has been depleted. Wow. Ain't that a difference a couple years to make? So now Jeff Bezos is pulling out all the stops to regain, because all of these politicians that allegedly this video's for entertainment purposes only, that he's supposed to be buying and he owning now, and all this money he keep giving them to keep his stuff in top in play, he really ain't got it like that to give them right now. So they had to pass the law in order to gain control back over the people, because TikTok is breaking them. Gotcha.
Breaking news. Okay, South Africa is not playing. Now, on my primary account, I showed you a video where she stated that all of the allies of Israel needs to step up and they need to ensure that they send some aid. Why rely on the other Muslim countries when the people that are in alliance with Israel, and if you actually feel like it's not supposed to be happening, then you need to step up and say something. You need to deliver some aid. You need to donate millions of dollars to reestablish Palestine, because y'all standing in allegiance with Israel is the reason why this shit is happening, why it's gotten so far, okay? Which she's right. So Harris reports that South Africa announced the Israeli soldiers holding South African citizenship would be arrested upon entering the country. Baby, but that's not all. Wait, okay? When I tell you South Africa ain't the one to fuck with, they not playing. They not playing. Now, mind you, there was Israeli troops that was in South Africa, okay? That baby, somewhere around October, November, they ran them troops right up out of South Africa. So you better get the fuck, and I mean fast, okay? Because we just found out what the hell going on, and we ain't got nothing to do with that shit. You better get your ass up out of here. This ain't your territory, and it ain't safe around these parts for you, okay? You don't want to wake up dead. So I suggest you get the stepping, and I mean fast, okay? Now they're finding out that some South Africans, right, with South African nationality, South African citizenship, participated in the IOF, okay? They found, South Africa found that out, and they said, oh, hell no. You hold up. I know you just saw us send them soldiers packing, and you thought it would be a good idea to go participate in this shit? Let me tell you something. You take your ass over there, you better stay. You better stay. Because if you bring your ass back over here, you bring your ass back around these parts, and I catch you, your ass going underneath the jail. Do you hear me? You're going underneath the motherfucking jail. Do you hear me? Okay? Don't let me catch you around these parts. Don't let me catch you, because the fate that's waiting for you, baby. Baby, you better stay right where you at. And I said, damn, South Africa is not playing, okay? They weren't just showing up on the forefront and doing what need to be done. They showed up at home, too, and said, I dare one of y'all. I dare a motherfucker to try me. Not only that, as they stated, I've already issued a statement alerting those who are South African and who are fighting alongside or in the Israeli, that was direct, in the Israeli Defense Force. So that means the IOF, the Occupational Force, is a part of the Defense Force. Like, they're all one sector. You know what the they mean. Don't even try to play that vocabulary wordplay, because they don't play in Africa. They don't play like that, okay? Only America plays wordplay like that. South Africa, they don't play like that. They, when they say one thing, you know what the fuck they mean. And if you don't, you'll understand once you get in jail, okay? You'll understand that they meant what they said, and they said what they meant. And you should have took it that way in the first place. Sucks to suck. Stated by South African Foreign Minister Naledi Pandor, okay? Not only that, baby, they already started arresting the ones that came home. They waited until a group of them came back to South Africa after finding out and getting confirmation that some of their citizens with South African nationality, they found out that y'all was taking y'all, carrying y'all black asses over there and showing y'all ass, baby. Acting like a wild park ape animal, honey. Like you ain't got no home training. Like South Africa didn't make it clear that this ain't the place for that. We don't engage in that buffoonery. What the hell is wrong with you? But this being a place that stands 10 toes deep. Nelson Mandela himself. Against apartheid and ethnic cleansing. You decide to carry your goofy ass across seas and participate in apartheid, knowing our history with Palestine and knowing how, like, we like this? Oh, you done fuck with the right one? Pack your shit. We got somewhere for you to go. Arrested them. Arrested them. Threw their asses under the jail. Now you sit and you think about what the hell you did. Because why would you get your ass up and go to a foreign country that ain't got shit to do with you and decide you want to fight on alongside of the country that is known to be an opposition from our own country? From the same country that has made it clear that they have intentions on trying to establish diplomatic connections in our own country just so they can come in here and do some colonial apartheid bullshit. Ain't finna happen, Captain. The way we looking at it is, it's treason. Treason. Because who gave you permission to carry your ass up over there with a South African nationality on your back and fight in that war? Not us. So, as far as they're concerned, they had already started, and the first arrest that they made happened months ago. Okay, let's be clear. I would say about the beginning of December, end of November, it happened months ago. They had made it known, you carry your ass over there, you better stay. Don't you come back. Because if you come back, you're going under the jail. I'm letting you know that right now. You can kiss your freedom goodbye, because it's going to be going for a while. And the, baby, the ones that already made it back in there, they gave them some time to skedaddle, because if you did not, and if we catch you, make yourself comfortable. Make yourself comfortable in this jail cell, because you're going to be here a while. So, yeah. South Africa ain't playing. Let me know what y'all think below. I think that South Africa's doing the right thing. Honestly and truly, they're setting the example and they're setting the tone for every other country. As
see, y'all, this is what I'm saying. About what I'm saying about stepping up, being strong, taking accountability. I already told you, Africa. I already told y'all. Y'all got some handkerchief Negroes over there. And what she said about them going back and doing crafty counseling, trying to put a up in Africa, using them, is a strong possibility. And I had them Negroes up in jail for a long time. You know, this is what we have to do in Africa. We gonna have to start putting our foot down strong and letting our other nations know that all that madness is gone. Africa should be united. Africa should be a nation.
America is scared right now. Britain is scared right now because they see Guinea under independent leadership. They see Mali under independent leadership. They see Burkina Faso under independent leadership. They see Niger under independent leadership. They afraid. They scared. They think y'all gonna end up infecting Chad with revolutionary African power. Where my Chadian Africans at? Where my Chadian Africans at? They think you're gonna end up infecting Congo with your revolutionary spirit. They're afraid you're gonna end up infecting the Democratic Republic of Congo with your revolutionary spirit. They're afraid you're gonna infect Gabon with your revolutionary African spirit. Turn this into a United States of Africa. And then I want you to have a conference of all African leaders who want to be part of the United States of Africa. African Union is over. It's time for the United States of Africa. I said the ancestors have spoken. The ancestors have spoken. And the ancestors have said that the African Union is over. It's time for a United States of Africa. I'm calling on the president of Guinea, the president of Burkina Faso, the president of Niger, and the president of Mali to be the first four countries to sign on to United States of Africa.
Get that horse and his wagon. Get that man and his rifle. Get that priest and his Bible. Get them that's dead on arrival. Them that pray see heaven. Them that don't see devil. Separate but equal. Say them that slave my people. So break them chains and shackles. Come again. Get that horse and his wagon. Get that man and his rifle. Get that priest and his Bible. For them that's dead on arrival. Them that pray see heaven. Them that don't see devil. Separate but equal. Say them that slave my people. So break them chains and shackles. Not again.
The U.S. president has been meeting other G7 leaders to discuss a diplomatic response to Iran's attack. Joe Biden has also met his national security advisers. He reaffirmed what he calls America's ironclad commitment to Israel's security. Now, Iran is warning that any American threat that harms its interests will be met with a reciprocal response. We're now joined by our White House correspondent, Kimberly Halkett. Kimberly, so that's what the U.S. is saying publicly. Do we have an idea of what the U.S. line is to Israel right now as it ponders its next step?
Yeah, well, we're learning more about that phone call that the U.S. president had with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Saturday. That phone call lasted about 25 minutes, and unnamed U.S. officials are now talking about what the message was that was conveyed. Overall, it is that the U.S. is not likely to, or rather has sent a rather clear message to Israel that it will not support any counterattack against Iran if Israel decides to launch one. Further, what the U.S. president has tried to convey to Israel is that essentially the fact that it was able to deflect, to shoot down virtually all of the missiles that were headed in its direction, as well as drones, is a victory in and of itself. The defense, a successful defense, is something to be celebrated, and there is no need to retaliate. The big fear among U.S. officials is the concern about Benjamin Netanyahu himself, the fact that he may be pulling the United States into a larger conflict, that he may be acting rashly, that he's doing this for political survival and without strategy, and that he may not be making good decisions. So as a result, what the U.S. president is trying to do is to bring down the temperature and to make sure that the United States is not drawn into a larger conflict, according to the National Security Council spokesperson, John Kirby.
Clearly, you know, we stand with you in your self-defense. That was the main message that the president delivered to the prime minister. He congratulated the prime minister and the IDF for the extraordinary job they did knocking things out of the sky. But I won't go into more detail. Again, I just go back to what the president has said time and time again. We don't seek an escalation. We don't seek a wider war in the region.
Now, the U.S. president has convened a telephone call or video link call with a number of G7 leaders. That is, we believe, still ongoing. The Marine is still standing outside the west wing of the Oval Office where the U.S. president is taking those calls. So we know that that is still ongoing. What we know is that the U.S. president is trying to coordinate a bit of a diplomatic response to all of this. In the interim, over. And what we also know is that up on Capitol Hill, what this has done is really rallied the U.S. Congress. We know that in the House of Representatives, there is going to be legislation that will be taken up that has failed two times before. And that is to really put together standalone legislation for Israel to put together yet even more military aid for Israel's defense.
All right. Thank you so much.
We understand there have been explosions and interceptions throughout, across Israel, against these Iranian missiles and drones as they're being intercepted. So those are some of the pictures you're seeing on your screen now. Let's bring in Sean Bell. He's a military analyst and a retired Air Vice Marshal. He joins us live from Birmingham in the UK. Sean, thank you very much for being with us. Give us first your response then to this retaliation we're seeing tonight against Israel. And how surprised are you that Iran used a direct attack rather than its proxies? Because that's significant, isn't it?
Yeah, good evening, Darren. It is significant. I don't think many people are surprised. I think, as your correspondents quite rightly have been saying, you know, when Israel chose to mount an attack onto the consulate in Syria, the Iranian consulate, on the 1st of April, killing 13 people, including a senior military commander, that they must have expected there was going to be some sort of retaliation. I think what's been interesting, first of all, is how long it's taken for Iran to find the right response. And also, I think Iran finds itself on the horns of a dilemma. As many of your previous correspondents have been saying, Iran does not want to get involved in a war, but it has to protect its reputation. And it certainly doesn't want to see any retaliation as being an excuse for Israel and potentially America to start attacking Iran, particularly its nuclear weapons program, because ultimately it's not if, it's when Iran finally develops nuclear weapons. That will be the ultimate deterrent for nations like Israel and the US, and it will not want to see those get lost. So I don't think anybody's surprised at the level of the attack. I think what we're all looking for at the moment is whether or not they are military targets, maybe government targets, whether there have been telephone warnings to advise to try and minimise the number of casualties, and whether or not actually this is a single wave of attacks. I think what's other thing you're seeing on your pictures, I would remind viewers that at the moment, the Iron Dome and systems like that are only really useful against drones. And it does seem to be that Iran has coordinated a series of attacks, potentially even Hamas firing rockets, but certainly Hezbollah firing rockets, and with the Houthis also attacking in the Red Sea. This is a very, very well coordinated series of attacks by Iran, trying to make a clear point to Israel.
Yeah, Sean, let's just stick with the issue of the drones. What do we know then about these Shahed drones that are now coming in over Israel and being intercepted? I mean, their range, their speed, their warheads, their payloads, etc. Because we know that they've also been used by the Russians in the war with Ukraine.
Yes, I mean, from a military perspective, they're not that capable. I mean, they're about the same speed as a car. They do about up to 140 miles an hour. They have got long endurance. They can travel hundreds of miles, and they can be quite carefully programmed. They've got a relatively small warhead, 50 kilograms, but that will still do a lot of damage on the ground. But they're really more terror weapons than anything else. The huge advantage is that these things are probably only about $20,000 a time, whereas most of the cruise and ballistic missiles, you're talking about $1 million, $2 million a time. So the great thing about drones is that you can afford quantity, and sort of quantity has a quality all of its own, because you can actually start to deluge air defences, and that's what these weapons try to do. They're a terror weapon more than actually physically be able to do material damage, but they are, as you said, very widely being used out in by the Russians against Ukraine targets, because it forces air defence systems to operate against them, sucking up expensive air defense missiles, and therefore creating potentially the pathway through for cruise missiles and the ballistic missiles, which are much more expensive, travel a lot faster, a lot more capable, but obviously are limited supplies and very expensive.
Yeah, let's just get a final thought from you, Sean, and stay with that issue of the Iranian strategy here. You were saying it's to overwhelm. Is it to overwhelm Israel's multi-layered air defense system, and by using other aerial assets like missiles, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, in effect, the attack itself is multi-layered as well?
The attack will certainly be multi-layered. I mean, there's no point firing one missile and having it shot down out of the sky by the very high-tech Israel air defense systems. That would appear that Iran was not strong. It wouldn't be seen as a robust response. So it would have to have considered a multi-wave attack. But Iran would have been well aware that most of the drones will get shot down. It's more a question of where the main missile strikes. But my overwhelming sense of this, though, is that Israel must have known when it attacked that consulate on the 1st of April that there would trigger some sort of response like this. And despite America asking Iran for a measured response, telling them not to respond, Iran probably had no choice. So the real question is, what was Israel seeking to achieve with those attacks on the 1st of April? And is this part of a carefully coordinated plan? Because Israel's made no secret of the fact that having dealt with Hamas, it wanted to deal with Hezbollah next, and this attack by Iran might well give Israel license to have a go after Hezbollah next.
All right, Sean Bell, live for us there from Birmingham in the UK. Sean Bell, a military analyst and retired Air Vice Marshal. Thank you very much indeed for your time and your analysis. Let's go back to Rory Challens. He joins us live from occupied East Jerusalem. Rory, so just talk us through now what you're seeing and hearing. You're there in occupied East Jerusalem. You've been hearing these explosions, seeing these interceptions. Tell us what you're seeing. Tell us a bit more, Rory.
Well, there have been extraordinary scenes, I have to say, over the skies of Jerusalem this evening. Just a half an hour ago, it looks calm now. It is calm. But just 30 or so minutes ago, the sky behind me was lit up with, what looked from here like slow-moving fireworks arching into the sky, which were interceptors launched by Israeli air defense all around the city, rising up to meet the threat of Iranian drones coming in, perhaps cruise missiles. We don't know exactly what the targets up in the sky were. But this is unprecedented, an Iranian drone and missile attack coming into the main cities of Israel, and an attack from Iran on Israeli territory itself, of the launching of dozens, if not hundreds, of drones. We understand that several waves have been launched from Iran, and it's possible that what I saw in the skies just a few minutes ago was only the first of those waves coming in. There might well be more. The Israeli government is saying that the battle is not over. What he was meaning by that, the Israeli government spokesperson, was that Israel is going to be launching its own response. So lots of questions, because we are in uncharted territory at the moment. Those questions are, how many more of these projectiles, missiles and drones launched from Iran, launched from Hezbollah, launched from the Houthis, are going to be making their way to Israel? How many of them are going to be getting through? We understand at the moment, we only know of one actual ground detonation down in the Negev deserts, injuring a Bedouin boy. What is Israel's response going to be? These are the big questions that are going to be answered only as we go through the night and then into the days to come.
Yeah, Rory, you touched briefly there on a possible target there near the Negev desert. Is there any indication yet as to what the targets are and where these drones and missiles might be landing? And presumably, I mean, they won't be going for civilian targets.
Well, that's the assumption, but it can't be a given, because as we've seen, there have been targets seemingly selected in Jerusalem itself, or at least the drones or the missiles were passing over here or being intercepted over here. So we can't assume that civilian targets haven't been chosen. It is more likely that the Iranians are going for military targets. That, I think, is the main assumption from the Israeli military planners and from the Americans who've been assisting them in their overwatch, in their intelligence, in their electronic warfare, and also with planes up in the skies, not just over Israel itself, but over Jordan and around the region, trying to intercept these threats as they come in. We understand that the British have had planes up as well, and the French has been assisting with its navy. So Israel has assistance from various parties, various countries and allies. It's had assistance from the Jordanians as well, who've been shooting down these drones as they've been passing over. It seems, for the moment, like the threat is being dealt with, but no air defence system is 100%, and there will always be things that get through.
Rory, just a final...
Mali's military junta has banned all political activities, saying that it's needed to maintain public order. Earlier this month, more than 80 parties and civic groups called on the military leadership to hold presidential elections as soon as possible. Mali has been under military rule since a coup nearly 3 years ago. Well, we can now speak to Adama Gaye, who's a political commentator and a former communications director at ECOWAS, joining us from Dakar. Welcome back to Al Jazeera. So we know why the junta is saying that they've taken this action, but the question is, why have they done it now?
They have done it now because they needed to retaliate to the civilian organization, political parties and association, calling on the junta to respect its commitment to do the civilian transition on March 26, 2024. So this seems as if being a pretext from the junta to eliminate the civilian threat, to not allow them to organize themselves, and although have a chance for them to prolong their stay in power. This is something very bad. For democracy, it is really the last thing that should have happened to Malian democracy and hope for democracy. And the military have done it very badly at the last moment when people expected Mali to return to civilian rules.
Look, and I mean, there's no indication so far as to when Mali will be holding the presidential elections after the delay that was announced by the junta. What do you think the end game is here?
Oh, there is likely going to be a battle between the military and the civilian. A very serious battle, because the military, they feel they are freed from the observation of ECOWAS. Since Mali left on January, ECOWAS, the regional body, the regional organization, that has stringent rules on democracy and good governance. Now that they are free and belonging to another bloc, which is the AES, the Sahelian state, now they think they can do it at their will. But the civilians of Mali are known to have fought for democracy. Don't forget that. In 1991, March 26, 1991, they managed to topple two demonstrations in the streets. A former military powerhouse that used to be ruling Mali in the person of Moussa Traoré. And in the past 10 years, the civilians led by Imam Diko and other key local players managed to be strong against the military. At this moment, with the military not delivering economic progress, not delivering on their democratic commitment, not delivering on their commitment to leave power and return the leadership to the civilian, there would be most likely a battle between them and truly the civilian.
When you say a battle, what do you mean by a battle? I mean, how do you see that playing out, and what are the civilians' next steps?
If they go out in the street in their droves and start demonstrating, calling on the military to respect the rule of law and cut their relationship with some toxic forces like the Russians, they must have most likely the possibility to have the support from not only African countries who are fed up with this excess activities of the military in whether Mali, Burkina Faso or Niger, and they may have the support also from the international community. And in this battle, at the end of the day, the military will not win.
What cards do they have to play? I'm speaking of the regional countries. I mean, how closely are they going to be looking at this development? And what's their reaction going to be?
Oh, of course, they seem to be happy with what is happening in Mali, because they want to play the military card to the excess view that they believe they should entrench themselves in power because they say that the civilians, they have been in politics and preventing the progress of their nations. Of course, there is a problem because in many of the countries in West Africa, from Mali, including my own country, Senegal, you have hundreds of political parties created by people who have not been doing anything but just benefiting from the receipts of the state to live large and not delivering and not allowing progress, economic development to be delivered. But in this situation, even though Niger and Burkina Faso are happy with what is going on in Mali, the reality is that whether Mali, Burkina Faso, or Niger, and even beyond in other African countries in West Africa, they have not been able to fight the scourge of terrorism, the scourge of underdevelopment, the scourge of militarism. All these problems are there, and truly, no matter what people say at this stage, the military have failed so far to be an alternative force to the civilian. In the past, we expected maybe the military to bring peace and stability, but now they are creating a chaos in most of the countries they are ruling without fixing the problem of terrorism, being killed, and the rule of law disregarded. So it is a serious mess that the military have created. And
France's economy is currently facing a tough time delivering the growth that President Emmanuel Macron needs to meet his promises of reining in the budget deficit. On the other hand, in an unexpected development, Niger, a landlocked country located in West Africa, is projected to have the highest economic growth rate in 2024. This is despite facing significant challenges, particularly with the West and the economic community of West African states. The African Development Bank, AFDB, has stated that Niger holds the highest economic growth prospect for the year 2024. It is interesting to note that this is happening 7 months after Niger expelled French forces from their country. Niger's optimistic outlook comes at a time when the country grapples with the aftermath of a recent coup and its exit from the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, following economic sanctions. The AFDB's projection for Niger underscores the country's potential for growth and development, despite these complications, which ordinarily would affect economic growth. With a growth projection of 11.2%, Niger sits firmly at the top of African nations on the list of fastest growing economies in 2024. Senegal comes next at 8.2%. While the recent political developments have raised concerns about Niger's stability and governance, they have not derailed the country's economic progress. And let me surprise you that immediately after Niger kicked out France, Niger raised price of uranium from 0.80 euros per kilogram to 200 euros per kilogram. And this made me to dig deeper into this. So, upon reviewing the documents, I discovered that the previous regime of Niger had entered into a contract with a 5% royalty on uranium sales. This percentage is an extreme amount and, in my opinion, unreasonable. The documents corroborated what the late Wagner PMC's leader, Prigozhin, had stated in a video. In the video, he claimed that French companies were selling uranium to Niger for $200, but only giving them $11. This information was already concerning, but what was even more surprising was when I compared it to a recent finding that showed that Niger was only getting 0.80 euros for each kilogram of uranium sold. It's a shocking disparity that raises serious questions about the fairness of the previous regime's dealings with Niger's uranium resources. Meanwhile, Canada's uranium is reportedly sold for 200 kilogallons, yet it's okay for France to take Niger's one and throw a miserable 0.80 kilogallons at this blessed country. It is worth noting that the recent actions of the Nigerian junta are reminiscent of those of Gaddafi in Libya. Though the details are complex, it is important to recognize that Libya, once one of the poorest countries in the world, achieved regional economic success by 2011. In fact, the United Nations Development Program, 2010, classified Libya as a high development country in the Middle East and North Africa. During this time, the country's literacy rate improved dramatically from a mere fraction to an impressive 88.4%. while life expectancy soared to 74.5 years. These achievements were the result of the country's demand for fair treatment rather than acquiescence to colonial corporations' greedy, parasitic allotments. These events serve as a testament to the potential for African nations to achieve remarkable progress when they stand up for their rights and demand equitable treatment. So Niger must be encouraged and supported at all costs, because with this price adjustment, and given that they don't have to depend on European or Western buyers to sell their uranium, Niger will soon become another modern Libya in the Sahel. And now yesterday, if you have been following, you saw what happened. Niger has now kicked out the U.S. troops, months after kicking out the French troops. Niger has made a bold decision to revoke its military cooperation deal with the United States. The country's military junta has ordered 1,000 American Armed Forces personnel to leave the country, throwing the United States strategy in the region into disarray. This announcement comes after meetings with a delegation from Washington and the top U.S. commander for Africa, General Michael E. Langley. Niger's decision to break ties with Western countries is in keeping with a recent pattern by nations in the Sahel region. They are increasingly partnering with Russia instead. American officials expressed concern in the meetings about several other issues, including whether Niger's military government was nearing a deal to give Iran access to Niger's vast uranium reserves. This concern was reported earlier by the Wall Street Journal. The rejection of military ties with the United States by Niger follows the withdrawal of troops from France, the former colonial power that has led foreign counter-terrorism efforts against jihadist groups in West Africa for the past decade. However, France has lately been perceived as a pariah in the region. According to Niger's military spokesman Colonel Amadou Abdramane, the American presence in the territory of the Republic of Niger is illegal and violates all the constitutional and democratic rules. He added that the sovereign people, notably through its elected officials, should have been consulted on the installation of a foreign army on its territory. A significant number of American personnel are currently stationed in Niger, primarily based at the U.S. Air Base 201. This base, which is a modern installation costing $110 million, is situated in the northern region of the country, characterized by the Sahara Desert. Unfortunately, since the military coup in July 2023, which saw the removal of President Mohamed Bazoum and the installation of the junta, the activities of U.S. troops in Niger have been severely limited. The majority of their drone operations have been suspended, rendering them inactive. Due to the political instability caused by the coup, the United States has been forced to suspend all development aid and security operations in Niger. On cooperation between the two countries, in particular military cooperation and the fight against terrorism, it should be remembered that the American presence on the territory of the Republic of Niger is illegal and violates all the constitutional and democratic rules, which would require that the sovereign people, particularly through their elected representatives, be consulted for the installation of a foreign army on the national territory. Thus, it was by simple verbal note, number 174 of the CG 2012, that the American side unilaterally imposed on Niger an agreement relating to the status of United States military personnel and civilian employees of the American Department of Defense on the territory of the Republic of Niger. This agreement is not only profoundly unfair in its substance, but also does not meet the aspirations and interests of the Nigerian people for the following objective reasons. First, it forces Niger to pay bills linked to taxes on American military aircraft, which the latter must normally pay, and which cost Nigerian taxpayers billions of CFA francs. Then, the competent Nigerian authorities have no information on the military activities carried out from American bases in Niger, and are unaware of the civilian and military personnel, as well as the American equipment deployed on Nigerian soil. Finally, the American Army has no obligation, according to the agreement, to accede to Nigerian requests for support against the terrorist groups who assassinate our valiant defense and security forces and massacre our hardworking populations. Also, since July 26, 2023, and the advent of the National Council for the Protection of the Fatherland, the American government has decided unilaterally and abruptly to suspend its military cooperation in violation of the agreement imposed on the Nigerian people by invoking Article 7008 of the Consolidated Appropriation Act without going to the end of its logic, which would require it to withdraw its soldiers from Nigerian territory. Furthermore, for several weeks, the Nigerian government has noted illegal overflight activities over its territory by American aircraft, which are likely to call into question the sincerity of their partnership and the relevance of maintaining the cooperation agreement, military imposed by our verbal. In view of all of the above, the government of Niger, taking into account the aspirations and interests of its people, decides with all responsibility to denounce with immediate effect the agreement relating to the status of United States military personnel and employees civilians of the United States Department of Defense in the territory of the Republic of Niger. A diplomatic correspondence will be sent to the American side to this effect, made in Niamey on March 16, 2024.
Yeah, get out. Exposing the sample, call him Kanye West. America gonna be destroyed. No doomsday threats. It's gonna get hit with ballistic missiles from Gog and Magog. You shouldn't have had liposuction. Should have jogged the weight off. We the resistance. Hear the bravery in my voice. You lied to us when you said slavery was a choice. Nigga must have smoked up a whole quarter piece. 1441, we was kidnapped by the Portuguese. When I hear the words, make America great again, all it means is make blacks and Latino slaves again. You said Bush don't care about black people. When it comes to cooning, you're a Barkley and Shaq's equal. You was the realest spitter ripping the beat up. Now you in a sunken place, spoon clicking the teacup. Yeah, learning you're a slave, mom turning in her grave. Lyrical sermon on the page, just burning off the mage. America was great when they stole the land from the natives. It was great when they brought blacks over on slave ships. It was great when they prospered off free labor. It was great when burning our bodies was sweet savor. It was great when they could rape our women at will. It was great when they did our children like Emmett Till. It was great when firemen sprayed us with hoses. It was great when they killed all our modern day Moses. Could you cherish a place where we perished in hate? Then wear a hat that says you want to make America great. Your character's fake, saying Trump represents freedom. He's eat him. He told cops when you stop, blacks mistreat them. Everything changed when you got with that ratchet thought. Your mom's casket dropped. Evil, cerebral, and rapid thoughts. The aftershock. You started tweaking off acid drops. High as an astronaut. I bet this shit happened to Travis Scott. Watch the throne. You really sold yourself a dream. It seems the people high as up got the lowest self-esteem. You're made back on the road to hell. You should be wearing that hat that says your soul is for sale. Yeah, look at all this backlash, hate. First you backstab Hov, then you backstab Drake. MK Ultra, I stuck in your mouth wide. This ain't the same Kumbaya from the south side. America was great when cotton picking with bloody fingers. It was great when we called Mexicans beaners. It was great when we didn't have a voice to speak. It was great when they fed us scraps, no choice to eat. It was great when they fed our babies to gators. It was great when they beat us before the taser. It was great in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. It was great when the media didn't cover our stories. Yeah, Deacon, AKA Fop Lord, Sakari. All praise Yahweh, Shimei Oshai. Hey, Kanye, man, get out. You out of pocket, homie. All the Jews, all the gems, all the jewels and gems you gave us about our history, all the social injustice that you spoke out about, and now this ain't the land of our rest. All right? We under curses, we Israelites. They not for us, man. Thank you.
Hey fam, what's up? This is FaZe. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And thank you. You can reach me at FaZe380, or you can come and join me at anchor.fm/FaZe5. That's where you can join my little rendezvous in the thought of process as we ride down the road to the world of destruction. Come in and join me. If you got a comment, you can post it at the bottom. You got a voice that you want to be heard, just send it to my Instagram, FaZe380. Everybody do their part, and the world can be a better place. I ain't here for no drama. I ain't here for no problems. I ain't here for no static. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And I'm here to learn.